The scepter shall not be depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. Until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples.
Psalm 45, 6 through 7. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Isaiah 11:1-5. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or disputes but by what his ears hear. But the righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and the faithfulness the belt of his loins.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn.
Psalm 110, a psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments from the womb of the morning. The dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn. He will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the ways. Therefore, he will lift up his head.
A man was once driving home from work, and he saw his cell phone was ringing. He, like any good driver, he pulled off to the side of the road rather than answering it. He looked to see who it was, and he noticed that the number on the caller ID was from his doctor. And so he said, "Ooh, I better answer this, because I was at the doctor's office just 2 days ago." And so he answers, he says, "Hello." And the doctor says, "Mr. So-and-so?" He says, "Yes, this is he." The doctor says, "Well, Mr. So-and-so, the results from your blood test came back. And, well, I've got some good news and some bad news." And the man says, "Oh, well, which do you think I should hear first?" And he says, "Well," the doctor, of course, says, "Mr. So-and-so, I'm afraid that the results show that you have 24 hours to live." And the man says, "Oh, well, can you tell me the good news?" And the doctor said, "I'm afraid that is the good news." And the man says, "How could that possibly be the good news?" And the doctor says, "Well, I've been trying to reach you for the last 24 hours. Now, that joke is silly. That really wouldn't happen in the real world. But it does tell us something about how we perceive good news and bad news. In fact, sometimes the same statement can be good news to some people and bad news to other people. And that's exactly what we see here in Psalm 110. The psalm starts off with these words, "The Lord says to my Lord." Now, if you're interested, and if you've looked at your Bible and you've looked at this passage of Scripture, you'll notice that the first "Lord" is in all caps, and the second "Lord" is, you know, capital letter L, and the rest of them are in lowercase. That's because the first "Lord" is the name of God, Yahweh. Yahweh says to my Adonai, my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." This morning, we looked at this passage from a different angle, and I mentioned that this is the most quoted Old Testament passage in the New Testament. But it's strange. A passage like this that's the most quoted in the New Testament is a passage that I dare say most of us, if not all of us, we just don't think about it this time of year. Oh, we think about Luke 2. We think about Matthew 1. We think about Isaiah chapter 9. We think about those kinds of passages, but Psalm 110, is that even on anybody's radar at Christmas time? Or any time of the year? And yet, Psalm 110 is a great Christmas passage. Because the one we celebrate who was born and laid in a manger is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's what this verse is about. "Sit at my right hand," God the Father says to his Son, "until I make all of your enemies a footstool." You know, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine. Yes, I do have friends that are pastors. I do have friends. And I know that's hard to believe. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine recently, and he said something to me that I never thought about before. I'm not sure if he's right, but it is an interesting theory. He said that over the years, and when I mean years, I mean like decades, maybe even centuries, Christmas has become more important to the church. It's become a bigger deal than some of the other holidays that we celebrate. And it could be because there are lots of pretty things that we do during this time of year, lots of decorations. It could be the nostalgia and the sentimentality that kind of comes with it. It could be the fact that little kids are really excited about getting their presents tomorrow. And even some of you adults are excited about getting your presents tomorrow. But he told me that he thought the reason that Christmas has become bigger in the eyes of Christians is that Jesus is portrayed as a baby. And what he meant by that is sweet little baby Jesus lying in a manger, so weak and helpless, so cute and cuddly. Now that's the kind of religion I want. That's the kind of thing I want to get involved in, is to be around this sweet little baby. But when we think about a king with a rod of iron crushing his enemies, not so much. And yet we have to understand that that sweet little baby, Jesus, grew up, and then he died, and he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and now he rules and reigns from heaven, and all authority in heaven and on earth is his. That's the one we celebrate tonight. The one who is truly a king over every king, a lord over every lord. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Some will do it willingly, and I assume that many of you are those who are doing it willingly, bowing the knee to King Jesus in humble faith. Others will not have the same fate, but they too will bow the knee one day, even as they don't want to. Well, either doing it willingly or unwillingly, but either way, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that's what this verse in chapter 110, verse 1 says, that every enemy of his will be brought into subjection. Christian, and I'm talking to those of you who have believed in the Lord Jesus, you've trusted in him for salvation, you know that your life is meant to submit to your king. That's what the Christian life is really all about. Giving glory to God the Father by following Jesus and submitting to his rule in your life. Now, sometimes people in the church, we say silly things. We say things like to unbelievers, we'll say things like, well, you just need to make Jesus your Lord. Can I tell you something about that phrase that's just not right? You don't make Jesus anything. We don't make Jesus anything. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords because God the Father put him in that position, not me and not you. And the good news is, as a king, he protects his people, he defends his people, he loves his people. This is a king who died for his people and rose from the dead for his people. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus, this is good news. Because Jesus is a conquering king. And he conquered you. He conquered your rebel heart. When you were running astray, when you were trying to find any way that you could to get away from him, Jesus kept pursuing. until one day he won you and brought you into his family and said, you're mine. And that's good. That's good for us. And we realize that's what we were created for from the very beginning. When we were first created, human beings were created to be in a relationship with their God. And Jesus has restored that relationship through his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus is a conquering king. Now, if you don't mind me actually quoting a movie, a Christmas movie here. It is a Christmas movie, Die Hard. And there is a guy from Die Hard, Hans Gruber. He's the bad guy in that movie. And he quotes that when Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer. That's actually a misquote. Alexander never really did that, never really said that. That's not true. But it does make a good line in the movie. But Alexander the Great was the great because he conquered so many lands during his time. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is greater. He's greater than Alexander the Great. Compared to Jesus, Alexander is Alexander the not so great. Because Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He will shatter any king or any lord or president or chief or any leader who tries to stand against him. God the Father says to his Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. It's his destiny to have everything in the universe subdued under his reign. And that should remind us, my friends, all of you who are here tonight, it is better to be a subject of the kingdom than an enemy of the crown. Now, as Americans, we don't really like kings. That's how we got founded, rebelling against the king. Now, I'm not trying to harp on America here, believe me. I love being an American. But there is something inside every American. When we hear about a king, we don't get excited. It doesn't thrill our hearts the way that this should. Because all the kings that we know of are bad kings. Evil kings. Kings who do things that aren't good. But Jesus is a good king. And because he's a conquering king and he's a good king, he subdues his enemies. That also means that he defends his people. He looks after his people. He cares for his people. John Calvin, and you know it's a good Presbyterian sermon if you throw John Calvin in there. So John Calvin says that we may patiently pass through this life with its misery, cold, contempt, reproaches, and other troubles, content. Why? We are content with this one thing, that our King will never leave us destitute. He will provide for our needs until our warfare is ended, and we are called to triumph. My brothers and sisters, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, if you are trusting in him, that's your destiny, to be with the King who will subdue all his enemies, and you will live in his kingdom that will never be overthrown, that will never end forever and ever, safe and sound from anything that would harm you. That's what little baby Jesus came to earth for, to protect his people, to save his people. But it's a whole different side if we're an enemy of the king. If We are enemies of the king. There's little hope for us unless we change sides. The king is merciful. He always looks for those who are willing to come to him and say, I was wrong, forgive me. I want to be a part of your kingdom. And he brings them in because he's gracious and compassionate and good. But for those who shake their fists in the King of Kings' face and say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Listen to what Psalm 110 also says. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. That doesn't sound too good, does it? And it sort of reminds me of my favorite scene from the movie The Avengers. Now, for those of you who haven't seen The Avengers, I'm sorry, this might not compute. But for those of you who have seen it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's when Loki, who is the bad guy in this movie, meets up with the Hulk. The Hulk. I mean, the green guy with all the muscles. And Loki thinks he's bad stuff, and he looks at Hulk and he says, enough! You are all of you. You're beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by... And before he finishes the sentence, the Hulk has grabbed his ankle and he's flopping him around like a rag doll, beating him to a pulp and laying him there, and walks away and says, puny god, and just keeps walking. I mean, the Hulk, he just flattens Loki. And that's the king. When the king comes, he doesn't mess around with his enemies. When the king comes, he's gracious and compassionate now, but on that day, you just don't want to be there. You don't want to be that guy. Jesus came to this world like a lamb, but he's coming back like a lion. And of course, there's no good sermon about Jesus as king without talking about the celebrated work of C.S. Lewis. In his children's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, he tells of adventures of four children in the magical kingdom of Narnia. And while they're in Narnia, the children meet Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, who describe a mighty lion, Aslan, to them. And Lucy says, is he a man? And Mr. Beaver says sternly, Aslan a man? Certainly not. I tell you, he is king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who the king of beasts is? Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan. I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? Don't you love like how British people, they say things like that? Quite safe. Is he quite safe? Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. That you will, dearie, make no mistake, said Mrs. Beaver. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly. Then he isn't safe, said Lucy. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver is telling you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And that's our Jesus. He's not safe. He could conquer your heart tonight. And that's because he's good. And because he's good, we can trust him. We can trust him when he says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So for those of you who have not bowed the knee to Jesus, recognizing that he alone is the only hope for rebels, tonight is a good night to believe. What a great Christmas present that would be to the church. And for those of you who have trusted in Jesus for your salvation, remember that if God is for you, if the King of Kings is for you, who can be against you? We are more than conquerors because Jesus the King died and rose from the dead for us. And we can be assured that when we trust in Jesus, when we lean on him for repose, that he will not desert us to his foes. That soul, though hell should endeavor to shake, King Jesus will never, no, never forsake. King of Kings, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I am thankful that you are our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we praise you because of who you are. And we are thankful that you are a conquering King, that you conquer hearts, you will conquer the kingdoms of this world. You conquered the entire universe. Everything will come under you and your good rule. And that is good news to those of us who long, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And even those of us who are here tonight who aren't in that camp, Jesus, I know that by your Spirit you can conquer them too and bring them in. And I long to see that happen. That not only over this holiday, Christmas, New Year's, but over the next year, that we would see many people come to faith because of your work, Jesus. And in the meantime, help us to celebrate that little baby that you were grew up to be the King. The King of Kings, the King of the universe, and that we are protected by your sovereign good care. Thank you for all of this. And now as we come to approach your table, will you set our hearts and our minds aright so that we will participate in this in a way that honors you. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name and for your glory, and along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen.